Thank you very much. And you can put your songbooks up, take your Bibles, and go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number. We're going to read verses 12 to 15. I'll read verse 12. You read verse 13 with me. Colossians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious Bible. Lord, please use it to speak to our hearts. And Father, please convict those that are lost of their need. And Father, please help us for your honor and glory that we can rejoice in you more. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. And our text verse is Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So God uses the Apostle Paul to pen the book of Colossians to the church in Colossae while Paul is in jail. And he's in Rome, and God uses him to pen this book. And he tells the Christians at the church in Colossae, you're redeemed to the in whom we have redemption, right? The word redeemed is such a beautiful word. And we sing it in the song book. But the word redeemed means to pay for or purchase, to receive and set free. It's like if you bought a bird out of a cage at a pet store. You would pay for it, you would get the bird, and then to do all three things that the word redeem means, you would then set it free. And that's what God did to you when he saves you. He buys you, he receives you, and then he sets you free. And that's why we're servants of the Lord, not slaves. Slaves don't have choice. Servants serve out of volunteer, right? That's why we're servants of the Lord. Which is, it's a beautiful word. How come we serve the Lord? Because he bought us. He set the price of our disobedience, and no one could pay it but him. He set the price as sinless blood. When you read Genesis, we're not going to do that this morning. We're going to look in the New Testament on verses on the blood. But listen closely. In Genesis, when Adam sinned, God showed us, there's a reason Genesis is the first book of the Bible. When Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do? He killed an animal, then took its coat, which means the blood had been paid, and clothed Adam and Eve. So God set the price for sin. Listen closely, because this is so simple. This is all through the Bible. The sin, the blood of the innocent pays for the sin of the guilty. And it's that way from Genesis through eternity. God set the price of one sin to be sinless blood. And nothing else can pay for it. So God purchased us with the most precious commodity in the universe. Okay? Now you got to follow me on this. If sinless blood, that's how come you can't pay for the sins of another person, because your blood is sinful. And what's killing you right now since you were born is your blood. We all have sinful blood, okay? And eventually it will be that sinful blood that takes your life, all right? We got it from Adam. There's only one source of sinless blood in the universe. There's only one source. Gold is more valuable than dirt because there's more dirt than gold. I think everybody knows that. Diamonds are more valuable than acorns because there's more acorns than diamonds. So things have more value based upon their scarcity, and the rarest commodity in the universe is sinless, innocent blood, because it only comes from one source, God Almighty. Every man is a sinner. Every woman is a sinner. Every boy is a sinner. Every girl is a sinner. You're born that way. But Almighty God stepped down from glory into this world, took upon him the form of a man, and flowing through his veins was not Adam's sinful blood, but God's own sinless blood that flowed in the veins of God, manifest in the flesh. That's why when Mary was a virgin, that's what makes the beauty. That's why we don't worship Mary. Mary being a virgin means this: the conception was of the Holy Spirit, and since the blood of the mother never contacts the blood of the child, because she was a virgin, Jesus had God's blood in him. That's the beauty of the virgin birth. It's not that you got to worship Mary because she, no, because she was a virgin, she gave birth to the only source of sinless blood on this earth. That's why it's holy. That's why it's right. But we don't worship Mary because she was a virgin. We just understand for God's blood to, it had to be God's blood flowing. The blood of the child comes from the Father. That's why they do a blood test to see who the baby belongs to, right? Where did Jesus' blood come from? God. It was God's blood. And I'll show you that here in just a minute. So, God's own sinless blood flowed in the veins of Jesus Christ while he was here. And Jesus was willing to shed that sinless, perfect blood to pay for your sins and mine. Jesus Christ was willing to go to a cross and be tortured to death, to bleed and die, so that if you're saved this morning, you can say this: I have redemption through the Jesus' blood. I have forgiveness of sins. What an amazing thought. That's why we sang so much. That's why we can sing so happily about the blood. There are some churches that don't want blood in the songbooks. They say, oh, you sang about the blood in church? That's gross. That's a slaughterhouse religion. That's what they call it. Are you kidding me? It's that blood that washes me and sets me free. It's that blood that God shed that cleanses me, that lets me speak to him in prayer. No, we praise him for that blood. We don't try to take that blood away. Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 20, and it'll illustrate a little bit of what I'm telling you. Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. Watch this. Acts 20, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Watch this closely. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So the ability for a believer to meet. What's the word church mean? Assemble. Okay? You've not gone to church when you read your Bible at home, although I think you should read your Bible at home. That's not church. Don't call it church. You have churched when you have assembled with other people who have God inside of them because they're saved. Amen. And to assemble, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. Yes, Jesus died for your sins. I just think this is an amazing verse. Yes, Jesus died for your sins on the cross, but for us to assemble as believers for one purpose, because God died for us and rose again, that what happens this morning and how God can work in people's hearts, God shed his blood for this. He bought the church, individuals, but our ability to assemble with his own blood. What a verse. That's why if you don't have a King James Bible, you don't have a Holy Bible, you have a Bible with holes in it. Because if you have a Bible other than a King James Bible, it says his blood. It doesn't say God's blood. Whose blood? What do you mean his blood? It's God's blood. Amen. It's God's blood. What an amazing truth that God would shed his blood. So saved people have been bought, purchased with a price, redeemed by God himself. It's understandable that your mother or your father would want to rescue you, or someone in your family would want to rescue you. That's understandable. But the Almighty Jehovah, Creator God, that created you, that you sinned against, was willing to rescue us. And the price was so high that the only absolute divine love would make one willing to pay that price. And God paid that price. God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This verse, Acts 20:28, says God purchased the church with His own blood. Thousands of Old Testament sacrifices, all of the sheep, all of the oxen, all of the goats, never took away one sin. All of the religions in the world couldn't take away one sin. But when God came into this world, He created with sinless blood flowing through His veins and offered His blood in payment for your sins that He might purchase you to Himself. What a God. What a God to celebrate. I remember, isn't it weird? Things are changing now. But I remember growing up when there were malls, right? And I know malls are dying because of online buying. But I never went to the mall and walked around and saw anything that I wanted. God's blessed me. Amen. I never saw, I want that, and I got to have that, and I got, and sometimes when you look at something, you think, I either don't have the money for it if you did want it, or it's not worth what they're asking for it, right? You think, I ain't paying that for that, right? Now listen closely. Can you imagine a holy God that possesses everything in the universe except you? That God would look at you and the price required to pay for your sin and mine was His own blood, and then God would say, it's worth it, I'll pay it for you. What a God. What a God. Since that's what it costs, that's what I'll pay. There's no religious figure who died for anybody but their own sins. Name them. Muhammad. Name it. Somebody said, well, I'm studying religion right now. What are you studying? There's only one Creator, Jehovah God, that died for His creation. There is no research. Check all the religions of the world. Scientology, pick it. Nobody died for you except your Creator. And no one conquered death but your Creator. Amen. What? That's why it had to be a bloody death. Jesus couldn't be poisoned. He couldn't be strangled. He had to be tortured to death, because that was what your salvation and mine required. It had to be a bloody death. And to this day, the death on the cross is the most painful death known to mankind. They still have it. What the Romans mastered, how God used that, they still haven't beat a crucifixion. That's where we get the word excruciating. Right? From crucifixion. Excruciating pain is the highest level. It comes from the cross. That God would pay that. If you tried to be a good person, you wouldn't be good enough. If you tried harder, you'll try and fail. None of your rites and rituals and services in any other religion will ever matter. And money will never matter for salvation, because God doesn't need your money. Imagine if God put a price. How could God put a price on one of your sins, one of my sins? One cuss word, one bad thought. If God put, what price would He put? Whatever He put on it, you couldn't pay. He paves heaven with gold. Streets of gold, right? The whole city's made of transparent gold. What's God need your money for? But if there was a price, you couldn't pay it. I couldn't pay it. If you just thought, how much money would you have to pay God to pay for one of your sins? Take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 18. We're going to refer to this word, redeemed. You're going to see it again. It's a beautiful word. You know, in our society, because people are taught about evolution, and it's just so stupid. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in God because you can't see God. But you believe nothing? Made a primordial soup that you came out of as a lizard or whatever, or a tadpole. That doesn't make any sense. To me, it takes more faith to believe in evolution, because there's nothing that supports it, nothing, than it does the Bible. It's a lot easier to believe the Bible. God spoke you into existence. Amen? God is your creator. And what is the most complex thing in the universe? Your body. It's amazing. The body, the God, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And they still don't know all about it. Amen? They think they do, but God still got the upper hand. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, watch this. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. In other words, God, you weren't bought or redeemed with anything that can corrupt. Look at verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So Jesus Christ, think about this, that word precious, his precious blood. Jesus shed his precious, extremely rare, valuable blood to purchase your soul and to pay for your sins. No singer or movie star or political figure has ever done anything for you like what Jesus Christ has done. All they've ever done is take your money. You think they're so wonderful? Quit giving them money and then ask them what they think about you. They're only in it for them. They're not there. They didn't do what they did because they care for you. That needs to be said. Celebrities and singers and movie stars have way too much pull. People that we celebrate, celebrities, people that we lift up above God. That's our society. American Idol and all that other stuff. Yeah, they're idols in America. They're people that we worship. Oh, that's so-and-so. Totally. Jesus didn't die, praise the Lord, to give you 10 more years here on this earth. Jesus didn't die so you could make it to 100 years old. Jesus Christ died for your sins to give you eternal, everlasting life. Think about that for a moment. You can't even explain that. Explain eternity to me. We can't even conceive it. Well, yeah, it's forever. Okay, and I've lived what? I'm 58 years old. I'll be 59 in December 14th. Write that down. No, I'm just kidding. I haven't even lived 60 years on this earth. Explain eternity to me. And that's what Jesus bought for you when he died for you. Made possible eternal salvation. What a God. What a God. How long would it take gold to disintegrate until there was nothing left of it? Long time. How long would it take silver to corrupt until it was gone? You never hear that, right? How long? Okay, God just told you that his blood will outlast gold and silver. That means God loved you enough to shed his precious blood on your behalf. Take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. I hope if you're lost this morning that you can see how simple being saved is. It is a gift. It's the free gift of God. Somebody paid a high price for it. It's very expensive. It's not cheap because it's free, right? A high price was paid for it. But God didn't make getting saved hard. He made it so simple. That's why many people will die and go to hell, because it's so simple, we want to add something to it. Well, yeah, Jesus died for me, but it's got to be, you know, baptism. That's got to be somewhere in there. No, there's nothing else. It's Jesus only. Now here, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Watch this. God commendeth or proved his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So you love God because he loved you first. Here, let me say it this way. You love God because he loved you more. God loved you more than you'll ever love him. Amen. What a blessing. You don't get rid of your sins and then God loves you. God loves you and then gets rid of your sins. That's why religion is totally backwards. Totally in reverse. Verse 9. Watch this. Romans 5, 9. Much more than being now justified or declared righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So I told you the word justified means declared righteous. And God says if his death would save you from hell, his life that he rose again from the dead much more keeps you saved for all eternity. Amen? So his death gives you eternal life, and his life keeps you saved. Amen? Much more. What a wonderful way to thought. So you're not righteous. God will not make you righteous. You don't become righteous. God credits you with righteousness you do not possess. God credits you with the righteousness you could never attain if you'll only trust his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So God shed his blood on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and then says to you, the sinner, will you put your trust in what I've done for you? You can't trust anything that you've done for God. Amen. You must trust only in what God has done for you and nothing else. That is God's salvation. When you do that, God declares you righteous or justifies you. And then when you have no righteousness, if you trust Jesus and his blood, God declares you righteous, and that's how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. That's absolutely amazing. It's the only thing that will find you righteous before God. It's so sad that people trust their candles and their beads and their works when it can never save. When it can never save. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. You're in 1 Peter. Go back a couple of books to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. And look at verse 11. It's wonderful to come to church and look in the Bible. And yes, we could have put in the bulletin, only the blood of Jesus washes away your sin. But we want it more than that. We want you to see this is over and over and over again in the Bible. This is why we sing. We only sang 2/3 of the songs about the blood of Jesus that are in the hymn book this morning. There's a third more. Amen? That's how it's good to sing about. The blood of Jesus makes me clean. Amen? Washes me. This is just amazing. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. What's he talking about? That tabernacle that Moses built, that 52 chapters in the Old Testament are about. More is about the tabernacle of Moses and its structure, the most expensive structure mankind has ever built. Higher in price than the Taj Mahal, pick any structure in the world. The tabernacle of Moses with its gold and its silver foundation and its curtains and the gold overlaid acacia wood. It's the most expensive structure. God said that structure pictured what was in heaven and what Jesus was coming to fulfill. Built without hands, what was in heaven, same thing. Watch this, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. What a word, eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying. Now watch this closely. I'm going to pull this back to you here in verse 13, but watch. Sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. That means it makes your life better here on earth. The sanctifying of the flesh. In other words, that's all that could do. Look at verse number 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he, Jesus, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. So, here we go. I know that's a lot of words. In other words, the New Testament began when Jesus died on the cross. That means most of what you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's Old Testament, right? Until Jesus dies on the cross, then the New Testament begins because he's the death of the testator or the one making the unbreakable agreement, the testament. All right? Now, here we go. God told Moses how he wanted to be worshipped. You got to think about that just for a second. Judaism is God meeting with Moses for 40 days, writing his word on tablets, telling him, for me to dwell with you,
Sacrifices have to be made. Blood has to be shed every day. If God Almighty is going to dwell with people, blood has to be shed. That's what you read in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. When God, so what is Judaism? Judaism is the religion that God designed in the Old Testament. That's why the world hates Jews, because it's the only religion that God accepted. Well, how come God won't accept my religion? Because you're a Gentile. God doesn't care about your lineage. I'm a Gentile. There's only two nationalities in the Bible, Jew and Gentile. And if you ain't a Jew, you a Gentile. You know what the word Gentile means? Heathen dog. That'll help you, won't it? Boy, we came to church to hear that. Boy, that really helps. But wait a second. That's what makes God's salvation so beautiful. That when the people that he formed out of Abraham made a nation, gave his laws to, gave his conditions to, rejected him, he made his salvation available to a people that never knew anything about. Trace all of us back far enough. You heard me say this before. Trace every one of us back far enough, and we all go back to a group of people sitting around a fire worshiping a rock or a totem pole or something, right? We all go back to a heathen, pagan tribe. Unless you're a Jew. DNA, right? I'm not a Jew, which means I have no claims to salvation. That's why it's only by His grace, undeserved, unmerited favor that I've been saved. There's nothing in me that earns it. There's nothing in my lineage. There's nothing in my family. It's totally by grace. Amen? That's the picture. So God gives His religion to the Jews. I'll say it again. You need to think about it, because these stupid riots that are happening, these anti-Palestinian, all this, whatever the Palestinian, I don't care. They're Muslim. They hate Jews. They're here to destroy America. A true Muslim can't do Pledge of Allegiance. You all know that? They can't do. That's how come Obama wouldn't do it until he was called out on it. Then he raised his hand to his heart. Remember that? It's because he's Muslim. And why are the Muslims here? To destroy the Constitution. They know if they get enough people here, they can do what they're doing in Britain right now. Overriding Parliament. They got the first Muslim. I know I'm taking a jaunt here, but what you're watching happening in America has already happened in Britain. They're not here because they love America. They're here to destroy us. You need to know that. You say, what are you going to do about it? I think we need some Muslim gospel tracts. Amen? We need some Muslims telling him Muhammad is still in the grave and never rose again. Only Jesus rose again. We need to be telling them about Jesus. It's gonna get awful. I said that to say that's why Jews are so hated. They're the only ones that have God's designed religion, right, from the Old Testament. Then, but if you went back in time and you practiced Judaism with the temple worship and the temple sacrifices, and the temple offerings, the best it could do was remind you to live a clean life. That's all it could do. But Jesus' blood, now that we're in the New Testament, is much better because it cleans you up in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of man. This is why your religion doesn't matter. The religion God gave man could not take away your sins. Then the religions of the world that man made up cannot take away your sins. Only the blood of Jesus takes away and washes sin. Go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, look at verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament or the new agreement in my blood, which is shed for you. So that the men that put Jesus on trial knew they were lying. They couldn't find one person who could prove Jesus' sin. So they gathered two, I believe there's three false witnesses that agreed and they paid to lie. Jesus said in verse 20, Jesus went to the cross, those last two words in verse 20, for you. It was for you. Jesus shed his blood for you. His blood was for your transactions. your sins. This is what God offers, and it's complete and it's free. Can I just ask this? If God said, I shed my blood for you, all you have to do is put your trust in my son and nothing else, not your church, not anything you can do, just Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't you take that? If God says, I'll pay for everything, why wouldn't you let God do that? I'll answer the question, pride, because I'm either not that bad or I'll handle it myself. You won't handle it yourself. You'll die and go to hell if you don't get saved. Amen? Here, take your Bible and go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, the strongest testimony to how holy and pure the Lord Jesus Christ is would come from the man that Jesus called the devil in John chapter 6, Judas Iscariot. Watch this. Look at Matthew chapter 27. You got to think about this, but watch what happened. Matthew 27, look at verse 4 is what I'm going to draw your attention to, but look, just start reading at verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death, Matthew 27, 2. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, watch, in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. If you don't have a King James Bible, all the other Bibles take the word the out. And it said, Judas said, I have betrayed innocent blood. You know how come the is in your King James Bible? Because there is only one source of sinless, innocent blood, and that's Jesus Christ. Innocent blood isn't everywhere. There's only the innocent blood, which is Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. If you don't have a King James Bible, you don't have a Holy Bible, you got a Bible with holes in it. Amen? There's things taken out that shouldn't be taken out. Get you a King James. Amen? There's a reason we use it. So, Judas saw that he was wrong, so guess where Judas went? He went to a priest. He saw that he was wrong, so Judas tried to pay for his own sins. Judas saw that he was wrong, so he tried to undo what he had done. Isn't that what people do? If I go to a priest and confess my sins, the priest will take away my sins. That's what Judas did, and he couldn't get his sins taken away. He tried to pay money. Don't they call that indulgence, where you buy righteousness from the church? Judas tried to give the 30 pieces of silver. You can't buy righteousness. He still had his sin. And then he tried to, here, take it back. He tried to undo. Well, you know, if you live a good enough life, your bad deeds, you know, can your good deeds can outweigh your bad deeds, and then you got a good. That's what Judas tried, and he went to hell. He went to a priest, paid money, and tried to undo it, and he went to hell. Wait a second. For 3.5 years, Judas heard Jesus forgive people of their sins. And then when Judas saw he was a sinner, he didn't go to the one person who could forgive his sin and take him away. So this morning, when you see yourself as a sinner, can I just tell you on the authority of the Bible, you don't need a priest. You don't need to try to pay for your sins or undo what you've done. You can't balance the scales of justice. So your good works outweigh your bad works. You can't make it right. You can't buy your way out of it. You need to go to Jesus because he's the only one who shed his innocent blood that you might be redeemed and justified. I say that on the authority of the Bible. Amen? God teaches that. Jesus doesn't ask you to do something for him and then he owes you salvation. Jesus is asking you to receive the gift he wants to give you because of what he's done for you, not what you've done for him. Go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. I think you know Revelation's the last book of the Bible. If you have a hard time finding it, don't tell anybody. We say that all the time, right? Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. I just think this is an amazing verse. Watch this. Revelation 1, 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Watch, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What a thought. God says one of the first things we're going to do when we get to heaven is sing the song unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I'm clean this morning. I can pray this morning. I can come into the presence of God this morning because I've been washed in his blood. God loved you enough to shed his blood for you and die for you. And if you'll trust Jesus and him only, he'll wash away your sins. God says this is the first song we sing. And then when Jesus washes you from your sins, there's nothing you can be charged with. There's nothing that can keep you out of heaven from that point on. Your sins are gone if they're washed away. Amen. They're gone. No ceremony or ritual can do that for you. No religion can do that for you. No amount of trying better can do that. No recovery program can do that for you. Listen, this morning, only Jesus' blood can do that. You're in Revelation. Go back just a couple of little books. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And what a phrase. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not almost all or most of it. All sin. Aren't you glad? The sins you forgot about, the sins you didn't even know were wrong, got washed away. All sin. That's why we can rejoice in the blood of Jesus. That's why we can sing about it. It's what made me clean. That's why verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So God says we have sin. So why would you want to hide it when God will wash it away? Why would you want to cover it up when God can wash it away? Why would you want to excuse it when God can wash it away? Why not let Jesus Christ save you? See, here's what happened. Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins on the cross 2,000 years ago when he died for you. He paid for all of them, but he didn't wash your sins away until the day you called on him to save you. He died for everybody's sins back there, everyone's. But it's not put to your account and you're not justified or declared righteous or washed until you individually ask Jesus to save you. That's important. That's important to understand. God says, because of the internet and the information highway, saved people want others to join in their unhappiness and their fear and despair as they look at what ungodly people are doing in the world. Did you hear what happened this week? You know, Kamala Harris said this, and when she used to say this, it's what ungodly people are doing. They're only in it for the money. They're what they call career politicians. Isn't it amazing? So far, every president that has come to the White House in the past 40 years, every president that has come not a millionaire has left multimillionaire. I didn't know the presidency paid that much. It doesn't. Total power corrupts what? Totally. That's what you're watching. Well, did you know what they're doing this week? And you know what they're getting ready to do? And you know what's getting ready to happen with cryptocurrency? And you know what's getting ready to happen? It's what ungodly people are doing in this world. It's going to increase. There's nothing anybody in this room can do about it. Amen. It's always been that way. We just know more about it because of the internet. Before the internet, it was going on. You just didn't see it as much, right? Now we've got instant access. I'm not sure that's a good thing. I haven't seen it help anybody. But now the moment something happens, did you hear? You know when World War I broke out, do you know how long it took for the whole world to know that it was at war? 8 months. I'm just saying, things are instantaneous right now. So I said that to say, be careful about wanting to join and be unhappy and fearful and in despair because of what ungodly people are doing in the world. I don't want to join that. I want to keep my heart and my mind stayed on what Jesus Christ has done for me. I have something to praise God about every day. The blood of Jesus Christ has washed my sins away. I have something to rejoice about every day. Now, I'm not saying bury your head in the sand either. I think you need to know what's going on, but don't, oh my goodness, just glance at it and then read your Bible. Amen. It'll keep you happier. There's the daily news, and then there's the good news. Amen. I'd rather praise God because I'm eternally saved and born again than be invited to a pity party. Amen. Take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, probably one of the most beautiful statements of salvation in the New Testament is Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 26. It ought to be marked in your Bible because it's just wonderful to read and look at. But watch this, Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have. Verse 24, being justified or declared righteous freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a, here's a big word, a propitiation. Stop. Don't let the big words throw you. At least look it up when you're reading your Bible. What's the word propitiation mean? The one God used to be angry with you, and when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, your sins were, not only were your sins taken away, but God's anger at you was taken away. That's the propitiation. Jesus died for your sins and paid for God's wrath. It's like if somebody got in a wreck with your car, right? And if you let them borrow it to go to the store and they came back and said, sorry, man, they cut in front of me and it wasn't my fault at all. But don't worry, insurance is going to cover it, right? Okay, if insurance covers it, you still got the inconvenience of being without a car. But you still got the frustration of the car wreck. In other words, that the insurance can't take care of. So think about it. When Jesus died for you, He paid for your sins and He took care of God's anger. Now your sins are all gone if you've trusted Jesus and God isn't angry with you anymore. Amen. He's the propitiation for our sins, watch this, through faith in His blood. You have to trust the blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, here we go. Beautiful passage. God says, if you'll trust the blood of Jesus, He forever saves you and declares you righteous in His sight. He justifies you. That's why it's one of the most beautiful statements in the Bible. What a thing to read and think about. Listen closely. There's two problems in the world. When we give the gospel, there's one group of people that when you say, hey, are you saved? Listen closely what I'm going to say. When we say, are you saved? They say, well, what do you mean? When I say, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? They say, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Listen, then I say, how did you become a Christian? Then they start telling me everything they did. I quit this. I never did that. I joined this. I gave that up. I lit a candle. I prayed these beads. I knelt in this direction. I shed this many tears. Listen closely. Then you're not saved. When somebody says, what did you do to get saved? If it's anything but trust the blood of Jesus Christ, you're not saved. That's why this is so important. What are we saying? Did we saying, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How do you know you're going to heaven when you die? Think about the answer. If it's anything other than Jesus Christ and the blood He shed, you're lost. Amen. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that that's what we hear when we get. There's two groups of people. One gives a whole list of things they've done. There is nothing man does for God that saves man. What God asks you to do is look at His Son who bled for you to pay for your sin. Will you trust Him? Yes or no? That is salvation. There's a second group of people. When you say, are you saved? They say, oh, I'm saved. Then you say, well, what did you do to get saved? Then they say, well, I don't know. And then when you say, well, how did you get saved? They say, well, I don't want to talk about it. Then when you say, well, Yeah, but how did you get saved? They say, well, it's a personal, private matter. Do you know why people can't answer that question? Because they don't know what God said about being saved. Listen, I understand. Being saved is personal. It only happens individually. It doesn't happen as a group or a family or a unit. It happens individually. But if somebody asks you if you're saved, why wouldn't you be glad to tell them you're saved? Isn't that goofy?
Well, it's personal.
Here's the classic. Oh, I don't talk about politics or religion. So the two things that will change society the most, we're not supposed to talk about if we're going to be politically correct and nice citizens. You're out of your mind. And we end up with a society as, voila, a mess. Oh, I don't talk about religion. When were you saved? And if somebody cares enough about your soul to ask you, why wouldn't you be so glad to say, oh, you care about my eternity? Oh, yeah, let me tell you when I was saved. Instead of, oh, no, don't talk about that's personal. I've had people tell me that. Yeah, I don't talk about that. And I always return with a nice, because I'm a pastor. I'm a nice guy, right? I know how to be nice. But I always return, somebody cared enough about your soul to ask. And if I still get talking to them, and when you stand before God one day, you won't be able to say, no one told me. I did that on the airplane one time. The guy looked at me and he was sitting next. He goes, I just don't want to talk about it right now. I said that to him. He put his paper down. He goes, you know what? You're good. I wasn't doing it to show him I was good. I was trying to get in his head. Amen. And I think God helped me. Amen. So, all right. So here we go. Now, I realize this morning you might have been led to the Lord by someone in a sincere moment of faith and believe you trusted Jesus as your Savior and then listen, and then you didn't do what God said and get in a Bible preaching church so you don't know what happened to you. I realize that, okay? That can happen. But it's not how long your family has been in church or when you felt a feeling or an experience. This morning, when did you put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you because he died for your sins? That's what you have to ask. When someone asks you why you're saved, tell them, God says that when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, he'd save me eternally. That's when I was saved. If Jesus washed away my sin, I better not be talking about water or church membership or good deeds. Those are not precious. They're a dime a dozen. That's why anytime I ask somebody, so when did you get your sins washed away? 9 times out of 10, I always get this answer. Oh, I was baptized at this age. They always think the tank has something to do with washing away your sin. We learned this morning in Sunday school, we touched on it. It has never been able to wash away sin. And that, can we just go there for a minute? If it could wash away sin, why would you want to be the second person getting baptized? Ew. Right? Just the thought of that. Oh, yeah, I got baptized and washed my sin. I don't want to hear, could you drain the tank and give me a fresh tank? Amen. So, no, it can't do that. All right. That was humor. All right. Go to Hebrews 10. Go to Hebrews 10. No, baptism cannot wash away sin. It never could. It never has been able to. Only the blood of Jesus. So go to Hebrews 10. God gives Moses the only religion he'll accept and the only way God will dwell with his people. God writes the law on 2 tables of stone with his own finger, meets with Moses for 40 days on a mountain. God describes the tabernacle with the curtains for the outer court and the brass altar and the brass laver and the silver foundation and the wood overlaid with gold. The holy place with the table of showbread and the lampstand and the altar of incense. Then in the Holy of Holies, the ark was separated by a curtain, veil. And listen, in the Old Testament, one man, one time a year out of 3 million could meet with God on the Day of Atonement. One man only. Nobody else could meet with God. What a thought. That was in the Old Testament. And then Jesus came. And as the blood flowed from his sacred brow and flowed from his face and the blood flowed from his back that was scourged and the blood flowed from his hands and feet that were nailed, God Almighty reached down and took a hold of that veil and tore it from top to bottom, and God opened the door so all men could have access to God, but God opened the door in response to the blood of Jesus Christ being shed. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 9, ready? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, verse 22, ready? Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. If you could travel back in time, you couldn't meet with God. I'm so glad I'm a New Testament Christian. Now that you're saved, if you've trusted Jesus, you can have access to God anytime you want. You can talk to Him anytime. They used to put bells on the priest to the bottom of the priest's robe, and as he went in to sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat, they would tie a rope to his leg in case God struck him dead, they could pull him out. One man, one time a year, could meet with God. That was it. Now that Jesus has washed away your sin, you can meet with God every day. What a God. What a salvation. I have complete access to my Heavenly Father. I can tell Him I love Him all day long. If you're saved, you can tell Him you love Him all day long. That was verse 22. Listen closely. Aaron was the high priest and his four sons. Two of his sons tried to go into the presence of God where they were not welcome, and God killed them on the spot. God cooked them immediately. The whole Israel nation learned that even Aaron's sons couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. No one but one man. But in the New Testament, anyone who's trusted Jesus, that has the blood of Jesus that He shed on the cross, can walk right into the presence of God and has full access to God all the time. A 9-year-old, a retiree, a blue or white collar worker, a man or a woman. This is not religion. This is access to God Himself. And it's only through the blood of Jesus. Not because anyone deserves it, but because Jesus' blood was so valuable and important to God, when you agree it was valuable and important, God said, come on in, and we both agree on Jesus. Amen? That's how we pray. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Watch this last phrase of verse 12. Having no hope and without God in the world. That's what you were when you were lost. There was no hope without God. You didn't have God. You're either trusting in Jesus' blood to wash away your sins, or God is nowhere around you. Isn't that sad? No hope. No hope of eternal life. No hope of God's help. That's what we were, all of us, when we were lost. Then look at verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, we used to be afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made us both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So, this morning, let me close with this. It doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter what your background is. Are you trusting Jesus Christ and the blood He shed for you on the cross? Do you love Jesus enough to put your faith in Him? That's why I don't care what your nationality is. We're made nigh by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. The only thing that matters is, are you saved? And do you love the Lord? And do you want to grow? That's all that matters. Because what brings us together is the blood of Jesus. And if you're not saved, then we can't agree. You have a different list of what's important than God does. Amen? That's how we meet this morning as a church, right? The blood of Jesus is the most important thing in the world. I hope the message helps you. Let's pray. Father, please use this, please, as we rejoice, as we see the beautiful truths in Your Word. I just need to ask the question this morning. With head bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody here that while I was preaching, you say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved.
I'd like to be, though. Is there anybody here like that this morning? I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I would like to know. Is there anybody like that? You just simply slip up your hand. We're not here to embarrass you. Then, child of God, can you thank the Lord for his precious blood that washes away your sin? Let's all stand. The piano's going to play. We'll have a short altar call. Redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, bought and paid for.